stage on certain elements demonstrating signs of maturity, but in certain areas, not so ideal in terms of what was envisaged. So some of the key attributes of building a caring, accountable, responsive and innovative system, they are at varying stages of realization. And we think that our task is aimed at building exactly on those areas where we need to strengthen the systems or strengthen the administration. So our barometer is to see a system that meets exactly all of these areas. In our last engagement, Chairperson, in this committee, there were matters that were raised, and these related to four areas. The first area that the committee asked us to provide further details was the capacity building products and services that we are offering, what type of those, and what are the specific numbers we have achieved so far. The first one we're reporting back, Chairperson, is the Integrated Counselor Induction Program, which was rolled out since post-August 2016. And to date, our numbers indicate that we have covered 8,174 counselors, as well as 243 traditional leaders that were trained in the phase one of the generic ICP. Now, that gives us a total of 8,078 certificates to date that have been already issued in terms of the total. And we had 9,306 counselors in the sector. So we're quite proud that we were able to hit almost 89% of coverage ratio of the total number of counselors. We think it's a very positive hit. The second part that our integrated program covered was what we called portfolio-based program, wherein post the establishment of various portfolios, Section 79 and Section 8 committees, we were able to tailor-make specific training programs that must ensure that counselors who are on finance, who are on infrastructure, who are on health, and so on, there's a specific offering to orientate them on what that portfolio entails, what oversight means, and so on and so on. And we were able to cover almost 2,800 counselors in terms of those portfolios. The third area is on leadership in municipal governance. That is an executive program that we are running, and it's on an ongoing basis, and it's also aimed at ensuring that councillors receive a formalized certificate program that also takes into account modular credit earnings, so that in terms of their own career path line, they would also receive credit-bearing training programs. And so far, 30 councillors have been trained to date nationally, and it's an ongoing program. The fourth one is on municipal leadership, media and stakeholder engagement. Again, this was a response to the difficulties around communicating with communities and so on. And we felt it would be important that councillors are also exposed around media liaison, ability to interact with media and communicate timely and make use of media instruments. And we have covered 412 councillors to date. Again, it's an ongoing program. The Local Links Leadership Program, all of these programs are issued under the Salwa Center for Leadership and Governance. And the Local Links, it's about seminar-type program. It's aimed at executive leaders to promote peer learning and exchange. And these are all provincially-based training programs to reinforce the aspects of shared learning, peer review, and so on. And we're currently reviewing this one in line with our next focus areas of the next current term. So it will also be rolled as we go along. The Municipal Competency Assessment Center, again, is a SALGA intervention aimed at ensuring that the regulations issued by Treasury and the National Department of COCTA, we are able to be one of the accredited providers to ensure competency assessment and certify people around that area. And so far, 346 senior managers have undergone this competency assessment, and that has targeted a total of 85 municipalities in the country. So it will be in ongoing. Some of the international programs that were also inquired by the committee pertain to our role internationally. What value and benefits do we bring to local government in South Africa? And the committee appreciated that SALGA plays a prominent role not only in SADC, it also plays a prominent role in the continent. It also leads the world body. And the committee required that we must be able to ensure that there's specific dividends that municipalities in South Africa in particular benefit from them. So we have just sampled some of those specific areas, Chairperson, that as a result of the credibility of SALGA at a global level, we are able to secure funds and be entrusted with responsibilities to build local government capacity. In our country, European Union, we have a specific program of strengthening governance and capacity in local government. And secondly, the Commonwealth has also entrusted us with a program that is funded to promote LED capacity in municipalities. And that is linked to small town regeneration programs we will be reporting earlier or later on in our presentation, as well as professional development program for economic development practitioners. The third one is a groundbreaking program that we have with our counterpart, the SALGA of Canada, if I were to use that word, is called the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. We have a four-year program that is aimed at building inclusive green municipalities, embedding the new green focus agenda around building climate-proof resilient intervention at municipalities. And that is aimed at ensuring that as we tackle issues of poverty, we also ensure that we curate climate change mitigation measures and adaptation interventions in our economic development program. And that benefits about six municipalities in the Eastern Cape. And those municipalities include Nelson Mandela Metro, it includes Kuha Municipality, Buffalo City, and about four municipalities in the eastern part of the province, as well as two municipalities in the northern part of the Eastern Cape. So it's quite an exciting program at around 58 million rand that is currently being implemented. And these municipalities have already been exposed to other municipalities in Canada by direct visitation, which we call matching up, where they will go there and those others also come here, and then specific officials are taken through program. The Dutch Embassy, we have a partnership with them around implementing water and sanitation technology and aimed specifically at strengthening innovation in municipalities. The partnership also to facilitate climate finance, we call it R20 regions for climate change. And the objectives of this R20 is to identify climate response project at city level, provide finance for feasibility at a city level, so that's targeting cities in terms of our opportunities. And 34 municipal climate finance projects were identified in 16 municipalities in South Africa that we are implementing. We also have a partnership with UN Women, where we are looking at strengthening social cohesion measures in terms of collaboration between SALGA and UN Women, especially around areas of mainstreaming gender interventions and empowerment of women at local government. And that cuts across the region of SADC as well as Africa. And where we have participated at the level of governance structure, that was another question last time, we have highlighted specific areas where we have played prominent role in advocating and representing interest of municipalities as outlined in the slide. And you also look at various committees here in Parliament, which committees we participated and what was the specific areas where we have influence the development of bills and or commented where there's been specific interventions proposed by the national executive. So those areas, Chairperson, spoke to what was required. We were also asked to indicate performance per mandate areas, given that the mandate of SALGA is that of being an employer body, capacity building, lobby and advocate and represent, and knowledge generation, knowledge dissemination, and knowledge sharing. All of those key areas we have reported in detail. And when we come back, Chairperson, in our next annual report, we will then provide a much more elaborate detail on the activities under the year that is closing in March. So in short, Chairperson, these are some of the areas around strategic profiling. We had the World Urban Forum last month in March, February, in Malaysia, led by our National Minister of Human Settlement. And because of our international role at the UN level, we have also produced a book that we use it as a guide on leading change to guide urban and special territorial planning globally. And that was launched at the World Urban Forum. And that was at the initiation of SALGA. And we'll make copies available to the committee in terms of how we intend influencing localization of global agenda in such a way that it makes relevance to our municipalities, but it also inspires them to tailor-make responses that are consistent with our own local realities. But to produce that leading spatial reform agenda at the level of SALGA, we think it's quite important that we play a prominent role in that regard. We are also looking at a number of other areas where we have influence under the lobby and advocacy role, influencing regulation for small-scale embedded generation, as well as licensing, especially on the area of electricity and energy. The second area of our influence was around amending the prevention of illegal evection, where we made specific comments to the Human Settlement Ministry around how to effect areas that would be constitutional compliant, but also take into account the limitations of municipalities. We also convened an energy summit to make sure that we can have a conversation that is more bottom-up to influence the energy landscape. And that was convened last month by SALGA. And in our view, it surfaced quite a number of areas that otherwise would not have enabled us to have a fuller grasp of the entire value chain of the energy complex that we have. And when we come back, Chairperson, to the Local Government Week next month, we would outline some of the key resolutions of that summit insofar as they would require specific action at the level of the legislature and insofar as they would require specific actions on the side of the executive on the policy and legislative review process. Others speaks to the issues that municipalities must do to manage the energy value chain much more effectively with the limited resources they have. So we are quite excited about the outcomes of that, and we can be able to share in full details once the report is here. On the area of fiscal reform, specifically on environmental management, we are seeking to influence the review of the framework for environmental management to ensure that we clarify roles of local government on the environmental function and how municipalities can budget for environmental issues in such a way that we can track and monitor environmental performance in terms of local government. So we will be working with FFC in terms of ensuring that there can be specific funding around that. The area of municipal debt, Chairperson, is one area that to us is a constant reminder that local government system is quite under strain, and there's a need for us to try and arrest the galloping trend of growth of municipal debt from its original growth just 10 years ago. And where it is, it seems unstoppable because we speak of about 143 billion rand now. And that is a growth of interest of the total debt. It's not the growth of non-payment of the current. So if we sit last year in March and it's sitting at 128.3 billion and today we sit at 142 something billion rand, it's a growth in gross debt, and you can see and track the interest factor growth there. It may probably land us in 160 billion next year, and until something is done that would fundamentally make us rethink how to deal with historical debts that otherwise, if it were to be applying principles of managing debt, what tends to prescribe the principles that require treatment of growth of debt as well as principal debt, we could be in a position to say how much of our debt is realistically recoverable. And when you look at Section 71 reports of Treasury, the last one they issued last year, out of the 128.3 billion, it was specifically 24 billion that is realistically recoverable. But the debt grows. So there has to be certain areas, and we made specific proposals which we can share with the committee in an elaborate form about how, as SALGA, we think some of this debt can be treated and be extinguished in ways that can bring an element of innovation without encouraging a non-payment culture of services. And those details are part of our framework that we think, to the extent possible, certain measures must be maximized. The issues around dealing with the sector departments on amounts that are owed on bulk water and bulk electricity, as well as ensuring that these issues can be resolved. There is an inter-ministerial task team that is now led by the Ministry of COCTA to look at how we resolve the current structural and systemic limitations that impede our ability to cooperate with ESCOM within our own jurisdiction. And we think the more speedier resolution of that, the better for us to create certainty on the side of municipalities. So that work is now unfolding at the level of a task team, advisory panel rather. The area of collective bargaining, we also indicated what we're doing on the employer role. And these are some of the statistics we have around the country, where we are stabilizing municipalities on managing the issues of discipline, resolution of workplace disputes, and so on. And these numbers that we have speak to that, as well as the issue of local government service charter. We are now engaged on the next round of wage for 2018-2021 as we speak. And we're quite optimistic that we are again likely and hopefully to emerge with a multi-year wage agreement without a strike. And that will be 9 years in a row in local government led by SALGA. So we think that it goes a long way in ensuring stability in the sector, whilst also ensuring that we play a mutually reinforcing role in terms of strengthening our relations with labor. And we will continue to strengthen on that. Issues of pension fund restructuring are a major issue that we are currently negotiating, as well as local government service charter, having workers committing to improving workplace productivity. We think it was a groundbreaking that we're able to bring that to the fore, and labor develops an appetite to want to commit to that. So SALGA Center for Leadership, the details, as I've earlier outlined, they go in fuller details, almost like 4,743 that are ongoing in a year around capacity building and a cross range of all these programs that perhaps I would not go individually, seeing that they are all stated the numbers for each of these areas. So these are some of the ongoing measures, Chairperson, that we think as part of building the requisite capacity at a governance level, requisite capacity at an official level at municipalities, we want to start seeing dividends coming out of that. So at when come 2021, we're able to say on the supply side, on the skills equation, as well as the demand-led provision, what is the dividend that we're picking out of that? Are we seeing better municipalities? Are we seeing better communicators? Are we seeing stronger oversighted municipalities? And what is the barometer for us to see that? So those are the areas that we will be looking at in terms of strengthening. On the area of hands-on support, with our limited capacity as we are at SALGA, we have also identified 43 municipalities under the program we reported last year. It's called MASP, Municipal Audit Support Program. And during the year under review, we covered 43 municipalities. And of these 43, 18 were in what we normally call a red zone, inability to produce financial statements, inability to account for audit, and inability to achieve better audit outcomes. It would always be disclaimed or adverse opinion. And those 43, 18 of those were in the red zone. And some of them have now progressed as a result of our support. Seven of them have progressed out of the red zone. And these are listed there: Inuba, Sundays River, Emalahleni, Gasekhonyane Municipality, Mafikeng, Bofuna, and Prince Albert, that our targeted support managed to migrate them out of this. And this is not enough. If we had much more collaborative resources, probably would reduce this number much more easier, and also safeguard that they don't go back to this difficult zone as well. So we also have a challenge during the year to disseminate information. And we had a panel last year around councillor, the harm that is visited upon councillors through attacks. And we sought to understand the underlying drivers around this area. And this work done by SALGA research work was then fed into the Commission of Inquiry that is led by Honorable Muerane in KZN. And we fed into some of the empirical evidence that, in our view, did expose some of the drivers around this area. And we had a dialogue around this area, as well as the mining municipalities, the impact of mining in municipalities, the digitalization and publications, the engagement, and also bringing and profiling socioeconomic profiles in our municipal. So we issue regular municipal briefs, and also at the level of managers, also deal with areas of innovation around what city managers should be driving in their own respective areas. So we convene them regularly as well. We also convened 2 weeks ago here in Cape Town a research colloquium bringing all institutions of higher learning to look at complex issues facing local government. How do we ensure evidence-based interventions in local government so that our policy-making scheme enjoys the benefit of empirical data? And SALGA is coordinating a research colloquium around this area, which we will annualize. And through that, we were able to produce 23 research papers for local government, which we can share with Parliament. And in our view, it would be an annual ritual to pick up certain areas that otherwise may not have been foreseen in the white paper on local government, and how do we continue strengthening one of those particular areas. We are beginning to also look at research going forward to look at the impact of coalition governments. How does this work? Was it envisaged in the Structures Act? If certain elements need to be strengthened in 2021 going forward, what is research telling us around strengthening this form of government to make sure that it is not vulnerable to many areas that otherwise could impact negatively on communities if it is weakened? So part of our research was also to look at those areas and also the impact of amalgamation of municipalities. If we had 51 municipalities in KZN, and today we've got 54. We must be able to say in 2021, have we made an impact positively in amalgamation? Were the policy assumptions that were advanced at that time realizable? And part of our groundwork research would give us some of the pointers around this area, so that policymaking can be made to benefit from empirical research-led perspectives on strengthening the system. On the 17-18 deliverables, we think that we are continuing to strengthen the organization. And we have now identified three goal areas, of which we will be reporting in the 18-19, where we are targeting three strong impact areas that are born out of the 20-year review we did of local government from 5 December 2000 to 5 December 2015, in terms of what are the areas that require greater impact going forward. And one of those areas that the municipalities at the National Conference in 2016 raised prominently was that we have not made an impact on inclusive economic growth and special transformation. So our next focus area should be on strengthening inclusive economic growth, and that must be underpinned by special transformation. So go and interpret this and see how you would implement tools. The second area, municipalities committed on building strong and good governance and municipal resilient institutions to take out vulnerabilities that continue to dog municipalities. Financial sustainability of local government was also a key issue, and that is twinned with greater fiscal equity that needs to be lobbied strongly for the sector to run its course. So we have identified those three goal enablers as key focus areas. We will then share in brief outline what are the key objectives under each goal and what intervention we seek to do for the year that is ensuing now. Under sustainable inclusive economic growth and spatial transformation, the key issue is to ensure that we foster integrated and sustainable urban development and management of economic growth, and also ensure inclusive rural development as well as bringing about social cohesion. We've identified three objectives under this goal area. The first one is to implement a sustainable urban development program to make sure that in appreciating the fast urbanizing context of our country, we are able to say, how do we interpret this issue? What are the lens that we are using to implement this program? And what kind of intervention that municipalities with different typologies in a city context, in a rural context, in a mixed urban and rural context, what impact do we want to make around this area? The second goal area will be to interpret regional economic strategies and effect land use management system that would ensure that they underpin the scale that we need to drive regional economies. The third objective will be to promote high quality and reliable service provision and infrastructure investment, package investments, initiatives that can be bankable, that allow municipalities to maximize and leverage equities elsewhere. And the fourth goal area will be to strengthen the role of local government in community development and social cohesion. All of those, they are a package of responding to spatial transformation and the notions of social justice that are very central to building a stronger and capable and inclusive system of local government. What are the flagships that will come under that? The first one will be to facilitate effective management of space through SPLUMA, support initiatives to produce new generation of land use management system. We now have SPLUMA, highly contested area in terms of what we pick up as local government, especially in areas where there's an interface between rural traditional communities as well as municipal government. How do we produce a new generation of land use management system that is able to assist us? The second area is to research and support urban land release programs to look at better fast-track urban land release in municipal areas that will ensure better implementation of settlement programs. The rural densification as well as the spatial transformation index, so that we can be able to track at a municipal level when we say City A is matching the imperatives of spatial transformation, what tool are we going to use to say so? So one of the instruments we thought we would produce is a spatial transformation index, which in our view would help us track, compare, at the same time encourage municipalities to migrate to a certain comparable area that meets global standards in terms of the goals that we have under SDGs, the goals that we have in the new urban agenda, but also within the imperatives of the National Development Plan in our country that fits nicely with the IDP commitments that each municipality would have localized. We must also deal with the support, the generation of small towns and other vulnerable economies using a regional development approach. We will detail that. The third flagship will be to drive a campaign on clean cities and villages through internal and external options for waste management. Our cities and towns are not clean, and we are grappling with managing waste, both in a rural context and urban context. It's even much more pronounced in rural areas because we don't have a defined infrastructure that says wards that are rural, what form of collection of waste is there? If people go to the same Shoprite, they go to the same spa and buy tins of Glenric, tins of Jam, where does that bottle end up? So what form of relief are we offering rural communities to make sure that waste management interventions, we take a total approach to convert waste into economy, but at the same time conscientize society. So far, we have not come up with regulations that enable us to resource municipalities in a way that there is no deficit in managing urban waste versus rural waste. Because in certain areas, our municipalities even struggle even to collect waste in an entire value chain in urban areas. So we thought we need to appreciate the fuller picture of this at the same time. Run a campaign that could be nationally led, which is still under conceptualization now by SALGA, and we'll be working collaboratively with the Department of Environmental Affairs, with COCTA, with the presidency and also provincial departments in such a way that we can rally municipalities to really take charge of this campaign and be supported as such to make sure that it is a sustainable campaign. It's not a launch and leave it. So it's one of our flagship that we would also require guidance from the committee on how we can structure it with pillars that would ensure that it doesn't collapse if it takes off the ground. We would also lobby for a broadband to become a fifth utility to make sure that we take advantage of the emerging technological phenomena that must allow us to interpret in the context of service delivery, how do we improve systems at municipalities. Facilitate and guide social cohesion programs at municipalities as one flagship area that must help us reinforce these areas. These are some of the areas that we are being called up on in terms of the objective reality that obtains in our cities and towns, where you've got coexistence of opulence and mass-scale poverty and inequality existing side by side. And these areas, they continue to be this image in our country in terms of saying all of these are found in municipal wards. They're not found elsewhere. So how do we make sure that in tackling this, we fast-track the release of urban land in municipalities so that we can be able to plan for better settlements that respond to national goals of building better human settlements. And land issues are residing exactly at municipal level. So we will be able to look at this area in terms of spatial inequality as well as income inequality. We also look at activities to give effect to those. We will conduct a study on the new generation land use management system. We would also assist municipalities in adopting these. The second area, we will conduct research on land release, develop proposals to lobby relevant stakeholders around land release, and also have a framework for land release for cities and towns. We will also be looking at a rural densification framework, implement measures around piloting in certain municipalities areas of rural densification, and also look at releasing these key deliverables at the end of March 2019. On the regional approach to small-scale regeneration, again, Chairperson, this issue of small towns is a major issue in terms of our constituencies, SALGA, especially rural municipalities and district municipalities. And our interventions to balance them will be looking at various variables in areas like population profile, unemployment and dependency, social vulnerabilities and population size and growth. And all of these, they speak to the dynamics that define mobility of people in these areas. And part of our intervention is to have a regional approach that would seek to maximize the strengths that are inherent in each region. When you look at the Karoo region, which is many municipalities that are in the Western Cape, as well as the border of Northern Cape, as well as Eastern Cape. So we want to look at that as a region. And what are the strengths and interlinkages of that region? And what can we do so that we can work beyond the municipal boundaries, deal with the regional scale of the intervention. And we have started profiling the Karoo region as SALGA, and we convened a major event here in these areas. And one of the commitments even made by premiers of this province when we convened this in 2016 is that there is a strong case for collaboration interprovincial, there's a strong case for collaborating also municipally to make sure that we can look at it. The second one is the typology of a Gauteng city region. Again, to look at district municipalities boundary this and ensure that when we talk about the inherent risk of managing water networks, inherent risk of managing electricity networks, we are able to appreciate that water networks are reinforcing. They are part of the ecosystem of Johannesburg, Tswane, Ekurhuleni. So there must be a platform for cities to plan across the boundaries around issues of public transport, around issues of water and so on, and appreciate the agglomeration that brings a dividend around the spatial geography of such cities and towns. We also have a typology of mining towns in our country. So what are the specific interventions we're doing there? We also have tourism regions as well as agricultural regions. All of those have now been mapped by SALGA to look at ways in which when we speak regional development, we speak around areas that must reinforce all of that, working with national key sector departments like your DTIs, economic development, and also provincial governments that will be central to supporting these initiatives. So local government is surfacing specific policy areas that we think if we bring a data-led intervention, we're likely to make greater impact on the area of inequality, reducing inequality, enhancing the chances of employment and mobility of people, and also fighting poverty. So we have looked at these areas. So under the year under review, we'll be mapping further categorization of these economies and have a framework for the categorization of regional economies towards the end of this area. We're already implementing a small town regeneration program in the Karoo, as well as areas around strengthening the digital economies. So here we're looking at exploiting disruptive technologies that exist in municipalities, but also lobby strongly for ICT and broadband to be a fifth utility in municipalities to make sure that we're able to interact with communities in a much more better way. The area of developing municipal broadband delivery is quite advanced. We're working with the Department of Postal and Telecommunications, and there is a number of municipalities that very soon the Minister of Postal will be launching some of the key pilot sites in Gauteng very soon around the broadband as a major development area. I've already covered the issue of managing waste and the kind of poor ways in which we are managing waste, landfills, and all of the issues around illegal dumping, and a major campaign around this area will be there. The second part is getting resources to municipalities to be able to manage this, even if it means we would lobby for a grant for solid waste as well as waste management in rural municipalities. We'll be able to figure out a fuller structuring of that proposal with FSC. So we would look at those options. We also have challenges around social cohesion. And one of the key issues around poor human development indicators that is prominent at a municipal level is around the life expectancy issues, the literacy, quality of life, purchasing power parity, inequality. It results in various forms. And one of those manifests itself. We see councillors being killed. We see a number of domestic violence and child abuse. We also see, we have people in Port Elizabeth yesterday arrested for wanting to throw children to protest around housing. And these are the issues that if we're unable to tackle issues of social cohesion, and this is not to say it's a social cohesion issue, but municipalities being at the, on the ground to appreciate the pressures that communities face on a day-to-day basis, we need to find ways of capping the phenomena of violence that is and intolerance that could be driven by many other areas. And the National Development Plan implores us to play a leading role as local governments in terms of reducing the level of discord that happens at a localized level. So the issues of looking at protests, the looking of killing of councillors, and all of these frustrations, they need to be tackled by building better means of communication and interaction by citizens. So we will be developing a social cohesion index wherein we want to identify indicators that municipalities, whether they develop city development strategies or IDPs, what are some of the social cohesion indicators that would be relevant to take into account its own dynamics versus a Karoo municipality and so on. So those will be guiding issues for us that we'll be giving municipalities in a strategic partnership. We will also support the implementation of the National Strategic Plan on HIV and AIDS at municipal level. We have a program that we have entered almost 18 municipalities. It's a program that we entered with the UN. It's called 90-90-90, meaning that 90% of municipalities identified must be able to participate in this program. And those 90% identified, they must have implemented 90% of the agreed measures. And those 90% agreed measures must result in 90% success rate around this area. So a number of our municipalities have been identified as case studies around this area. We will also be looking at research measures around the cost of delivering comprehensive municipal health services insofar as the competence relates to us in terms of the Constitution Schedule 4 and 5B mandates that we have around this area. We have also seen the scourge of listeriosis that was quite widespread in our country, and it tested the reality that municipal environmental health services are quite inadequate in our country, the ability to detect these issues and deploy resources. So we will be looking at a comprehensive cost measuring, working with the Department of Health to make sure that we can have a capability statement to say what are the ideal ratios that we need for environmental health in a metropolitan scale municipality, in a district scale, in a local scale municipality. So at instances like this, we play our own role in terms of our environmental health competency to inspect, monitor, and issue fines in instances where food handling premises, burial sites, or funeral parlors, or restaurants rather, also flout set environmental regulations. So we will be looking at other deliverables around water benchmarking, which we are working with many other partners internationally. Promotion of municipal trade and investment approach for local community development will be another area to look at areas of fiscal framework for municipalities, the funding model for municipal health services, as well as measures around proposal on access and inclusion of vulnerable communities. Issues of sports, recreation, arts and culture, heritage in our own municipalities, to the extent that we play a role in the 15% grant we receive, those areas are all core packages under the social cohesion agenda. Good governance and resilient municipal institutions, again, four goal areas that we have identified there, Chair, to continuously invest in good governance and modernization of governance approaches in municipalities. And this area will speak to strengthening oversight and accountability. We now have MPECs across the country, and we regularly train them. But we want to see better dividend coming out of those establishments, so that the results of Auditor General, the results of implementation of budgets assigned to municipalities, we are beginning to see signs of a robust system of accountability at municipalities. It is not ideal yet, but we think we want to make it our focus over the next 3 years to strengthen those by peer learning, by benchmarking, by constantly providing training and capabilities to councillors and managers. We want to look at modernizing governance systems processes in terms of implementing digital technologies to foster sound and productive labor relations and also professionalize local government. All of those are mutually reinforcing to back to basics five core pillars that COCTA has rallied all of us around to make sure that we promote good governance at municipalities. So one of the key flagship, Chair, is one of, under this good governance. We are unable to detect major risk affecting local government. So we tend to react ad hoc. So as and when municipalities can't pay bulk water, then we must all rally to find out who is not paying where. We don't have a comprehensive and proactive data analytics system that enables us to say 257 municipalities at any given time, who is likely not to be in a position to pay rent water by November this year. We're unable to tell that now. Same to ESCOM in terms of the key main trading levers in a municipality. So it becomes inability to pay, macro factors, micro factors, discipline, and so on. So we want to develop a local government risk management system, which we will curate in such a way that by the time it is well established and it continues to have all the data sets, we can be in a position to foretell upfront that these are potential risk areas. These could be own inability to manage issue skills, but these ones are also caused by inability to pay. So many of our municipalities today, if there is no injection of equitable share, they just cannot exist. So how do we look at those areas? So we want to develop that local government risk framework. Also, the ability to ensure that our municipal barometer that we've established in SALGA acts as a local government risk monitoring system that we can develop. We also want to have an accountability index for local government, as well as monitor the impact of MPACs, as well as performance-based incentives for public office bearers at local level as part of strengthening the tools of accountability. All of these are part of the work we'll be doing in SALGA. Peer review mechanisms, self-appraisals will be one of those. And also ensure that we are able to profile municipalities in a way that shows the gradual improvement in the image of local government. We will also be looking at relevant IGR structures, working with COCTA in terms of the policy review and legislative provision to make sure that reforms around councillor support are also done. And we will also conduct annual impact assessments around these measures. We will also monitor the issue of consolidation of municipalities, as I've indicated earlier on. What is the support program for amalgamated municipalities to make sure that they don't immediately suffer consequences of Section 139 if they quickly degenerate into something else? So our impact assessment report will emerge. We have also looked at the area of human resource management in terms of service charter. It is currently being worked, and the key issues around this is around improving staff productivity and also ensure that we improve accountability of municipal workers themselves around this area. So the relationship is not about bargaining with outcomes of salaries, but there is no corresponding commitment on improving productivity. So we'll be looking at that area. And these are some of the areas we'll be implementing in detail to professionalize local government and also deal with issues of municipal human capital management. The last goal is on goal number 3, building financial sustainability of local government and greater fiscal equity. Again, here we've got 3 goal areas, and the task there is to make sure that the local government fiscal framework is revised. The second task is to ensure effective revenue management, and thirdly, sound financial management of what we have currently. So we will be looking at supporting municipalities around long-term sustainability, and this June we will be hosting a financing of infrastructure and bond conference in June here in Johannesburg, looking at how to look at various measures that we can explore on sourcing financing within the fiscal framework and also rally around key partners around some of the key challenges that Minister of Finance outlined in his speech on the 21st of March to say, I'm ready to partner with you on certain infrastructure investment, but we need to work on specific policy measures that would be bankable projects. So we'll be looking at those areas around this infrastructure conference, and also look at dealing with the renewal of the equitable fiscal system. We're working with FFC on this matter, and later on in the year, we will be able to indicate how far we are going around that. The area of establishing a revenue collection agency or capacity that will be cross-cutting to improve and undermine the current weaknesses of management of bills at municipalities. It's one area we want to explore. We have started conversation with SARS earlier in January, and we think that to the extent possible, we can find common ways of helping us to claw on the revenue leakages that are happening at municipal level. And we have made specific proposals around ensuring that there must be certain amendments in legislation that will prohibit municipal officials, public office bearers from owing municipalities, whether it's national, provincial, and local, to make sure that we strengthen the ability of closing the gaps that could be in the system. People want to do business with municipalities, same way that we require SARS certificate. We think that within the confines of MFMA, it must be possible to ask a person who wants to do business with the municipality, do you have a service and rates clearance certificate? Before you do business with municipalities, not only to say, do you have a SARS? Do you have a service and rates clearance certificate? So that when we do business with you, we understand that you are also not in conflict with the municipal revenue management instrument. If people have to repay or receive funding from SARS in terms of their annual declaration, likewise, we would like to ask, how is it possible that you must get a SARS refund when you owe City of Tshwane? Should it not be the municipality's first priority first? So if our systems don't talk to each other, we will continue to have the sketch of non-employment and ballooning of debts until we claw and tighten some of those areas. And we think legislation is possible to help us strengthen those areas. On the area of debt servicing cost, we have indicated the current limitations we have, as well as performance of various grants that we have in municipalities. Our municipalities still have weaknesses implementing some of these grants. And I think in a regular way, they need to be strengthened around this area. The debt is growing, and it is significant. The operating revenue, again, given the fiscal constraints, we will be working within those limitations that are in these areas. The problem of ESCOM Municipal Service has been detailed in this committee, Chair. I will not detail, save to say that there is now an advisory panel to resolve some of these areas. The municipal audit outcomes, we have a specific focus working collaboratively with COCTA and Treasury to continue to help municipalities to improve on their audit outcomes. And this is a picture of how audit outcomes are still a challenge in some of our municipalities. And around this area, Chair, we will then be dealing with how we will finance our plan as SALGA in terms of 2018-2019 over the next medium-term budget. We have a budget that we have, and our budget is inherently reliant on levies paid by municipalities, so it's still a vulnerable source of resources to implement a plan. And we are confident that something could still be done to strengthen our ability and using our own international profile and continental profile to continue to attract international resources to help municipalities. That's our story, Chairperson, so far. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, George, for the presentation. Any addition from the councillors, which is Honourable Tofi?
No, Chair, thank you very much. That is our presentation. It's a presentation of SALGA as an association to the committee as we were requested. And we'll take questions, comment, and we'll contribute from there.
Thank you very much. Honourable Melham.
Chair, I've got a lot of questions, so I suggest Mr. George and Councillor Stofile write down the questions.
Just put four first.
Well, Chair, will I get a second bite? Okay. All right. Chair, let's start with, where is Councillor Park's towel? He hasn't been to a committee meeting in the longest time. We didn't have an apology from him. He is the political head of the organization. Why is he not here? Chairperson, then the issue of budgets, and I find it very interesting that in an annual performance plan, there is one slide devoted to the budget, and that slide is not very informative. Nonetheless, your admin costs account for 60% of your budget, and your operational costs account for 19% of your budget, your program costs. In fact, if we have a look at a breakdown of your programs, you will see that admin costs increased while program costs, particularly your program 3 and program 4, decreased. And program 3 is your good governance in municipalities. Now, this is an area that you should be putting far more effort in rather than remunerating yourselves or having luxury offices in Menlyn. And let me tell you, Chair, the offices in Menlyn in Pretoria are amongst the most luxurious in the country. So I would suggest that SALGA needs a good long look at its priorities. Chair, while we're talking about that, how does SALGA, what contingency have they put in place for the fact that they may lose or not receive the full amount of their membership fees? In fact, if they don't sort out some of the issues that are raised here, they could be standing to lose up to 20% of their income. Chair, let me ask this of Mr. George, and I'll come back to some of the other questions just now. What are you thinking when you propose performance incentives for public representatives? The reason I ask this is, nowhere in the world am I aware of public representatives getting a remunerated performance incentive for doing their job. Nowhere in the world. Your performance incentive is that you get re-elected if you do a good job. It's not about getting more money, not about getting a bonus. So where does SALGA get this idea from, and why does it think it's workable? Chair, shall I leave it there, and I'll come back with some more questions just now. Thank you.
I would like to appreciate the presentation by the government.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honourable Member Maluleke, thanks for the presentation. The first issue that I want to raise relates to the question of the training of councillors. Just to say that it is really commendable that issues of leadership, training on leadership, and the question of basic induction are continuing. That is indeed a very promising kind of direction that is being taken. But on the question of leadership in particular, one would like to have a sense of the future now that work has begun. Just a sense of where is this taking us in the near future? How is this going to be intensified? Just to ensure that indeed we get better outcomes. The second issue that I want to raise, Chairperson, is really about a media report. I read in the papers, I think over the weekend, about some Limpopo companies, private sector companies, that have access to councillor pensions, and I was very, very worried, given the fact that the pension story is a very, very sensitive issue. One would just like to have a comment on that. Has Salga looked into the question, and what stance has it adopted as an organized local government body. On capacity building, just to say that while it is commendable that SALGA is working with institutions of higher learning in relation to research, it will be very useful because research is not research. Can be so broad and so meaningless that you cannot see any value in it. So the issue there that I wanted to raise really is this whole question of practically what is envisaged so that research really lead to conditions on the ground. And a sense that it impacts positively on improving the work of municipalities and therefore the work that needs to be done in the GP impacting positively on communities. The
The intervention in assisting municipality with audits, it's, I think, is welcome intervention again. One notes that several municipalities seem to have been successfully assisted. So one welcomes that. But planning forward, what are the actual numbers that we see? What actual improvement we see happen? Maybe I'll come back on other issues, Chairperson, but the other issue I wanted to raise was the question of debt. That is 128 billion rand debt. The CEO raised the whole question of what is realistically recoverable. I want to raise the same question. And just to get a sense as well as what is the narrative? So that we don't really wait and swim in a pessimistic type mode and there's no way forward that is being indicated in terms of getting out of the problem that we're in. No, thank you very much.
Chairperson, if I may, I'll deal with the first question of Honourable Member Mylan. Why President Parks Tau is not here? I'm told that the invitation was made to SALGA, not to a specific person or an individual. It must be understood that President Tau do not take decisions on his own. The highest decision-taking body in SALGA is the NEC. You've got three members of the NEC here. I don't think that this committee, Standing Committee on Costa, really has the authority to determine who of SALGA should be present and who of SALGA should do the presentation. The request of the invitation was that SALGA present the annual performance plan to the Standing Committee, which is what we have done this morning, through our CEO. And I think that's where it stops. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Let me try to go back when it comes to spending money on remuneration staff of SALGA. I think it must be understood, Chair, that SALGA is not producing gold. It's producing knowledge. And knowledge production is so costly in the market. And if you need high value skilled individuals to impart such knowledge to a highly trapped sector called local government, you must be prepared to spend so that you attract that skill, you retain that skill, so that knowledge can be imparted to your intended recipient. I think if it can be understood within that context, I will be much appreciating, because can you imagine a situation, Chair? SALGA, over a period of time, it evolved. It started small, number of individuals leaving SALGA, okay? And in the very teething 8 years of SALGA, struggling to retain individuals in SALGA, and that we did not realize any value in terms of skills transfer, knowledge transfer to the municipalities which are a target to us. So I think it will be important that we appreciate that part, that the business is about how do we, the knowledge that we have assembled, we transfer it to the intended recipient. I think if it can be understood within that context, it will be much more happier. On the issue of the private companies, intruding into councillors' pension funds. It's a matter that as SALGA we are concerned, but it's a matter that we have dealt with. It's at SALGA's attention in terms of the leadership, insofar as dealing with that matter, because it affects our members. Okay. The last issue, and some of the issues will be replied by the CEO. SALGA is a member association. And what is presented in this, it's as a result of the SALGA conference, takes a decision through member municipalities and mandate the national executive of SALGA in terms of how to interact and implement such programs. I think the CEO will then
thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. I just want to re-emphasize the point that was raised by my colleague on my right, Councillor Kutsie, that at SALGA we work as a collective. So whatever decision we take that decision as a collective. That is the National Executive Committee of SALGA. So the question that is asked, where is Councillor Parkstow? Councillor Tau is at work as we speak. He's at work, he's on international duty because Councillor Tau is a president of the USL. I'm not sure, Chair, whether I should continue because the member is interrupting me. We're trying to give answers here. We're called to come and account as SALGA. Now, Councillor Tau is at work. So we know his whereabouts. There is nothing to hide about. And I think Councillor Kutsie has made a point that Councillor Tau does not take decisions as individuals. We take decisions. So there is a question around the issues of municipalities that are benefiting out of the work that we do as SALGA at an international level. So if you go to page, I think it's page, it's just that the page is not numbered. It's page 9 in terms of our international partnerships. Where we have a program with the Federation of Canadian provinces that are benefiting out of that program. I think the CEO indicated earlier, one of the beneficiaries is the Eastern Cape province, which he listed most of the municipalities that are benefiting out of it. One of them is the Nelson Mandela municipality, Kuga, and I think it's 6 municipalities from the Eastern Cape. So you can see the kind of impact that we make with this international partnership that we have as SALGA. So I hope that question of an individual from SALGA has been answered. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The issue of the budget structure of SALGA as contained in the APP and regularly reported to committee. Honorable Milliam, the program cost for SALGA is 49%.
How did you figure that out?
Yeah. SALGA's programs, if you look at program 1, 2, 3, when we report, Chair, and say there is a MASP program, there's a water and sanitation advisory program, there's a collective bargaining that goes to municipalities, that is a program. So when you render that service, you don't employ consultants outside. The cost of those employees are the ones who deliver directly. So you don't have a program called Municipal Audit Support and then you go to KPMG or you go to ENY. Those SALGA employees, they come on a multinational team and they are costed in that in terms of the accounting system that is recognized and audited and understood by Auditor General to be the correct certification that we have on the program cost and employee-related cost and so on. And there's the issues around contingency measures that has been raised by Honorable Milleham. Yes, as part of SALGA's materiality and risk framework, in any given year, we are required by the Auditor General to outline what is your materiality risk. If there's a likelihood of 20%, how would you mitigate on that? And that is disclosed in the annual report in terms of how, in cases of that vulnerability happening, how we will mitigate. But to the extent possible, all those areas that are being raised are matters that are being attended to
to make sure that a matter like that is prevented. I think we have come to the committee chair several times highlighting the vulnerability of the SALGA model, that in case where it's absolutely reliant on voluntary levy payments, it could potentially harm. So we annually provide measures around those contingents. So the issue would be not to have members impacting negatively on SALGA on that, but at the same time respond to members' issues that they may want the organization to correct. Honorable Meleham, you have raised the issue of performance incentives for public office bearers. It is part of our conceptualization of the consequences and accountability framework. So the issue is not bonuses of councillors. It's not the more pay for councillors. It is about saying every year there is problems in local government and generally in the entire public sector, where when there's poor outcomes of audits, there's poor outcomes of performance, there's a return of funds to the fiscus for infrastructure, how do we ensure that there's consequence and accountability? So when we say incentive-based, it is not the angle of more money. It's to be able to say when there is, and this is coming from conferences of SALGA, the discussions, when we launch the consequence and accountability, to say in the event that there is consistent and persistent audit issues, how do we hold public office bearers to account as well as the municipal employees together? So are you likely to offer public office bearers annual increases or annual adjustment when there is in the face of poor audit outcomes in municipalities? So it is from that angle to look at it, including where you've got better performing municipalities. How do you get to a situation to say on the transport grant that we are giving, better performing municipalities will incentivize them? That's the angle of incentivizing. It is not an angle of being paid more, but it's an angle of saying, how do you make sure that when incidences happen, you have an accountability? It's a matter that we'll be researching, and when we have a better framed product, we'll be able to come back to the committee around. It's similar to the frustrations that Auditor General has, to say, year in, year out, I raise the following, there's no consequences. How do I make sure that I'm given sufficient tools? But in our case, it is about saying, let us recognize that it can be business as usual. When there's no accountability, there's also no consequences. And that's ideally the thinking that is emerging on the side of SALGA. The benefits of municipalities under international relations, we have attempted to list them, Chairperson, and I think on those areas where we said the number, they are on the slide that indicate the amount, what is the program. We can be able in writing to bring back to say when we say 2020 program, there's 18, who are those? The R20, who are those? We can forward that to the secretariat because we do have the actual numbers in detail, which we can leave with them now as we leave. It's available, Chairperson. How do we ensure that municipalities do not delay payment of salaries of staff as well as councillors? It is an issue, Chair, that I raised in my presentation that without monitoring major risks happening at municipalities, we currently have no less than 96 municipalities in the country. That in the absence of a fiscal injection from equitable share, their ability to exist next month is difficult. So they have to literally wait for a transfer of money to be able to pay. So some of those issues, they impact negatively. Some employees can't be paid on time during the month end or even councillors for that matter. It's one of the major risks that is serious at municipal. So in our discussion with COCTA and Treasury, we constantly implore that at least there must be a speedier payment of those. Hence, we were worried when there was a threat of withholding even equitable share because of not paying ESCOM. So that would have led to a total collapse, but SALGA did raise prominently why the matter would be disastrous for the sector without underplaying the significance of paying ESCOM as an important issue. The councillor pension fund story, Chairperson, is a matter that is being attended to by SALGA. What you see reported is not a matter of the present. It's a matter of 2 years ago, and it's a product of a forensic audit that was done by the councillor pension fund trustees. And as a result of SALGA intervention, that fund has now been put under curatorship to stem the tide, to reform it, and make sure that all the attendant problems are being addressed. So we have met with the councillors, new trustees, in terms of the curators rather, and we are satisfied that a lot of work is being done to stem the tide, and they are visiting provinces now in terms of how they have secured the fund. And on those issues are reported there, there are matters that currently are before law enforcement agencies, and they are running their course around this particular matter. The issue of research to make sure that condition of the ground improve, it's exactly what we are doing around the matter, to make sure that our research is not a theoretical exposition that is detached from the realities. So we are looking at how do we influence policy. When we say there's ward committees, what does it mean? How do we create better functioning? So it's research that we think, if it's specifically designed in a relevant way, it will go a long way to influence how we improve matters. We can certainly come back to the committee, maybe on a detailed presentation, to say what are we flagging up on the research questions, so that we can also be assisted by the committee in influencing a positive direction. What is the municipal debt narrative? The municipal debt is growing exponentially. And every year its growth is not growth that is largely caused by new non-payers. It's an interest debt growth. So when you look at 128 billion versus 143, that's quite a quantum leap. And when you assess the Section 71 report of Treasury, they are able to say, out of this total, there is a realistically collectible component. And when we look at it, it's always less than 15%. In our last looking at the figure, it was 24.3 billion versus 128, and Treasury uses a threshold of 3 months. If you cannot collect that after 3 months, so don't assume that it's still realistic for you to collect thereafter. And there's many principles that are involved in the Usury Act about the principle of quantum duplum. You cannot raise something to somebody that is more than the capital amount. And all of those issues have not been tackled in a way that shows that are we still able to collect a debt of 1995? So are we still keeping in our book that which was recorded in the amalgamation of this municipality? So what reliance are we placing there other than contaminating the books of municipalities? Other municipalities do write-offs, but the significant part of the debt is currently being restructured on a partnership with Public Works, Treasury, and so on. And there's a lot of difficulties around the matter. I think on the side of local government, the key issue is that to the extent that commercial players, industrial players, and government owes municipalities, we would like certainly to see that part of the debt being addressed much quicker than it is currently the pace. So at on the citizenry side, there can be work. Part of the issues that were mooted in the National Executive Committee of SALP was that why should we not contemplate a repeal of historical debt bill that can be put to Parliament to quantify what debt is qualified as historical, what are the timelines that would constitute that without negating the obligations of service users to pay, but deal with the reality of the historical nature, lack of data during the amalgamation that happened through demarcation. Some municipalities can't even find the records of 1998 and so on. So how is that still kept as a debt still to be verified? And it continues to contaminate the picture of municipalities when they have to go to the debt capital market. They look at your debtor's book and then they see that Johannesburg, you're still owed 17 billion rand. And realistically, I can't give you more than a billion rand. So all of those issues, they complicate the ability of municipalities to be credit worthy in municipalities. So amongst other measures, not the only one, is the contemplation of introduction of a bill to deal with this issue, if that could be one solution to deal with the historical part that may not be realistically recoverable, and put measures that would tighten it going forward, including installation of controlled consumption, prepaid water, prepaid electricity, so that you arrest the possibility of that debt growing up again. So that's the area that still needs better curating, so that going forward it doesn't become a major recurrence going forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. On the issue of waste management, I can see that there is a research that has been commissioned, but I just want to know what currently are you offering in terms of a support to municipalities in terms of waste management, because it is a challenge as we speak now. Like yesterday, I was driving to Nelspruit, and then I passed through Bethal, and it terrible. The waste, it's as if there's no landfill site there. So I think that has to be prioritized. And as SALGA, like municipalities are your members, as in terms of giving support, in terms of the skills, the skills that you are giving out to municipalities, are they soft or hard skills in terms of technical skills? Why do I say that? Because if I am your member, I think you walk hand in hand with me. You'll want to know what is it that I'm doing in terms of the plans. If there'll be a new township establishment, you will be there to work with me, to assist me, as working, yes, of course, with the relevant departments, your human settlement maybe and your cooperative governance. But there's this issue when the these new township establishment, the issue of infrastructure and what have you. You know, we've got a challenge of sewer. Like you'll be told that if you ask what happened there, there's this issue of sometimes a shoddy work. If it's not a shoddy work, it's the issue of the feasibility study that has never been done. You find that a pipe, the water pipe, was supposed to go under the ground sometimes, and where it was supposed to go, there's a railway line, and it can't. But already houses are built there, and the problem now is that the community does not get to water. But you'll find that municipalities, as much as they've noticed what is a challenge, but they continue to add more houses in such areas. Yet there are problems in terms of your sewer and your water and also electricity. What's the other thing? Oh, in terms of your economic development, and I see that yes, you've got good plans. But I haven't like seen maybe you mentioning the Department of Small Business Development. So I don't know how far are you working with that department. I thank you.
Chairperson, let me start with some follow-ups on my last questions, and then I'll go into some new ones. First of all, let's talk about what I spoke about, the incentives for councillors. And let me point to slide 41 in Mr. George's presentation, where it says, institutional performance-based remunerative regime for councillors and managers. Now, if that isn't financial incentive for the job, I don't know what is. And you used the word incentive. I just picked up on your word. So what you're proposing here is bonuses. And you can't try and spin it otherwise. That's what you've said in your document. I'll read it again. Institutional performance-based remunerative regime for councillors. Okay. Then let me come to the issue of Councillor Tao. And thank you, Councillor, for your honesty in telling us that he's overseas again. At whose cost? And how much is it costing, SALGA, for him to be overseas? I'd really like to know what the cost-benefit ratio is between all these trips overseas, not just by Councillor Tao, but by SALGA as a whole, and the income that you generate in terms of grants from overseas donors. I'd like to know what the ratio is between those two. Also, just for Councillor Kutsia's benefit, when we call an organization or an entity before Parliament, the head of that organization appears. the chairperson of the board of ESCOM comes, the CEO comes, because we expect answers. They are there to be held accountable. Councillor Tau has appeared once before this committee. In the 2 years since his election, once. Now, to me that smacks of avoiding accountability, and it smacks of being a high flyer, a jet setter, and looking to the international side of his job rather than his primary responsibility, which is to local municipalities. I then want to talk to the budget, Mr. George, and I refer to the fact that 59% of your expenditure is spent on employee costs. 59% of your expenditure is spent on employee costs, which means that only 19% is directly spent on program costs. That is from your own APP document. It's not something I've sucked out of my thumb. It's from your document, your budget. Which means that the you've got this massive administration. And I get your point that you use those employees to deliver. But all the costs of the programs, of the activities, accounts for less than 20% of your operational expenditure. Okay, let's come on to some new questions. First of all, can anyone from SELGA tell me what they have done to mitigate the risk of municipalities to the VBS Mutual Bank saga? What advices have you given municipalities? What have you done to ensure that municipalities are not putting their funds in financially risky institutions? Did you communicate with municipalities to say that it is illegal for them to put their money in a mutual bank? Mr. George, you've spoken at length about amalgamations, and I would remind you that SELGA was very much in favor of these amalgamations prior to the 2016 local government elections. And yet we've heard time and again in this committee that National Treasury and the FFC both submitted reasons to the Municipal Demarcation Board why amalgamating these municipalities was financially risky, why it was not a good idea. And now you're coming along and saying, well, yeah, it wasn't a great idea. Are you going to admit that SELGA was wrong, that you didn't take the advice from National Treasury and the FFC, and that you should not have supported those amalgamations because they are not good financial sense? Chairperson, I think we're conflating two issues with regard to municipal debt. On the one hand, there is the debt that is owed to municipalities, and on the other hand, there is the debt owed by municipalities. And the one has to do with collection of revenue, and the other one is paying for what you owe. And I think that we need to make a clear divide between it. And I understand that you can't pay what you owe if you don't collect what you are owed. But what we have seen time and again in municipalities across the country is wasteful expenditure, unnecessary expenditure, expenditure that does not go to addressing the service delivery needs of municipalities and the residents. And so the debt owed by municipalities then increases because they are not paying the bills to ESCOM, the water boards, etc. What has SELGA done to address that issue? Two last questions, Chair. SELGA is proposing in its APP to delist as a Schedule 3A public entity. I would like to know what the implications of that delisting are and the reasons for it. And then last question goes to the research papers that you, or last comment, no, let's call it a question. The research papers that you spoke of, the 23 research papers, I would welcome those being tabled as part of your annual report. I think that you should show us the work that you are doing. Let us go through it and see that your work has value. Let us review it and say, yes, this is good work, or no, this is not good work. But let us review it, because if we don't see it, we don't know what you are up to. Chair, just one last comment, and that is with regard to the Municipal Councillors Pension Fund, and Mr. George raised the issue, and I know it was raised from the floor as a question. I think that as a committee, we need to have a joint portfolio committee meeting with National Treasury on the MCPF. Pension funds fall under finance and National Treasury. And we need to get the MCPF in front of this committee to explain to us what progress has been made under the curatorship and where they are currently, so that we can assure ourselves that the pensions of those councillors who have invested in the MCPF are safe. And while we're at it, we might as well call for National Treasury and VBS to report to us at the same time, so that we can determine the extent of exposure to the situation with VBS Mutual Bank. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I will also join those that have appreciated this report is quite detailed. But firstly, Chair, I want to know, I've noticed that there is almost 85 municipalities in terms of capacity building that have been, that you have dealt with up to so far. While I was expecting that since this is a free program, you should have even scored more municipalities there. Is there any way where we can get a detailed report of this municipality in terms of capacity building, that these are the municipalities that mostly attend this program and they are continuously doing very well? Maybe the rating of those municipalities, because some of the municipalities are in the ICU. We are not sure whether are those municipalities that are not also participating in such program or white. We will appreciate, George, if we can get a detail of this municipality to say these are the municipalities that have undergone through I know that you wouldn't have listed all of them, then you said you've got a paper, but we will appreciate to get that report so that we can also assess and see some of the municipalities that are of our interest as well. And lastly, Chair, is that Salka, do you have any program that targeted the municipalities that are not doing well? A program that focuses on them in terms of the AG reports, that these municipalities, we want to assist them out of that problem before, or do you share? Do they share with you their management report before the committee dealt with them, since you always having a very clean audit report, so that they might be on the same par with yourself? Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Just a follow-up on some of the issues. In addition to questions I raised earlier, the first short question is really on strategic profiling. I guess what this refers to, Chairperson, is the profiling of SALGA as well as municipalities. So my question under this broad heading is, what work is being done to manage the perception that municipalities are non-functional, that it's functional? We know that not only the municipality can be categorized as such. But what I'm looking for is more the intervention. What is that is being done? Then there's a question on knowledge sharing and information. Are we learning anything from each other? If yes, what are the key learnings? Then there's a question on restructuring and or amalgamation of municipalities. really what one is interested in is the narrative. Are there lessons that are positive? Are there specific negative experiences that we want to point out? What is the narrative on the amalgamation of municipalities? What one is really worried about is a sense of hopelessness that comes through as people talk about some of the municipalities that were doing relatively well before amalgamation that are now at the extreme pressure and seem to be regressing. But overall, I mean, what is the narrative? Because we must be able to explain this in any way that makes sense and assist the process going forward. I was also worried, Chairperson, when I saw that the part that deals with SALGA as an employer body, maybe not in the first few slides, maybe later, but it relates really to SALGA as an employer body, that the staff morale seemed to be low. There seemed to be quite some problems there. And the question is really, what measures are being taken to ensure that this does not overwhelm and negate the work that is being done? The other issue that I've been worried about for some time, Chairperson, is the question of sports, recreation, arts, and culture and heritage. That, you know, sports is one of those areas where we can spend relatively very little money, relatively speaking. And we can have some positive outcomes. But we don't seem to be pursuing aggressively this whole area of work. And there is seeking to ensure that facilities are built in an ongoing way. You know, I had a discussion with one person from the company's sports portfolio committee in Parliament. And he was talking about visiting a facility in the Free State where the grandstand was there, but the actual football ground wasn't there. So they're taken there to see a new stadium. But there was no stadium really. That is kind of thing. On cleaner cities, sometimes it's not the money that's central and important. It's really a sense that there's oversight. I imagine, I mean, if the SALGA NEC was to visit, as you hold a meeting in different provinces from time to time, to visit municipalities, and that should take three things, one of them being, you know, cleanliness of cities. Just take a walk and let the people there explain why is it that the city is getting dirty and dirty. Because the personnel employed, but the work is not getting done. And without being too hard on people, but just talking about compiling a report and so on, can serve as pressure and to get people to think differently and to ensure that the work that is supposed to be done is done. I heard you speaking, Chairperson, CEO speaking about land urban release programs. Are there ideas that SALGA is developing, given the fact that we're now at a point where the idea of expropriation is not compensation has become dominant in the political discourse? other ideas that are developing, ideas, are the pilots that you're thinking about and so on, so that we are not left behind by development. And lastly, Chairperson, there's a part of the report that deals with red zone municipalities. I think it's slide 44. Yes, we note the increase of municipalities that are in the red zone, but what interventions are envisaged to deal with the situation?
Thank you, Chair. It's like an addition, actually, but it's because of Honorable Mayim, what he has raised on the VPS Bank. When I asked in terms of SALGA working with maybe small business and development. So coming to VPS, that maybe if we can also ask questions like, what lessons are we drawing from such banks? What support maybe do they require? Because the understanding is we are about transforming the economy. And in your presentation, in terms of the Commonwealth Local Government Forum, you talked about a three-year program to strengthen LED capacity in South Africa. So I think VBS are also initiatives that are there to assist government in realizing its goal in terms of the transformation of the economy. And also they will assist municipalities in terms of revenue. So if such initiatives can be looked at, and maybe the issue of legislation, is the law in favor of such banks, what is it that needs to be effected in strengthening and ensuring that these banks do perform than to frustrate good initiatives? I thank you.
We will share the responses across. On the issue of the VBS Bank, National Treasury has taken the lead as soon as it became aware of the difficulties that the bank faced, I think early in January, before the curatorship by the Reserve Bank, and there's been communication to municipalities. What we have done in consultation with Treasury this month of March was to establish the extent of how many municipalities were impacted and what does it mean. Certainly there's lessons to be learned on the matter, where municipalities invest money on a mutual bank, and regulations are quite clear in the Municipal Functional Act that it could not happen. So it could be the weaknesses in the detection system on those who manage banking. We certainly don't do that as SALGA. So we have no legislative obligation to know what CTX invests to other than the registered bank. So you could see the matter was detected very late, even by institutions that are charged with that responsibility. But there's certainly lessons to be learned on it. And perhaps if the committee would so require, we could make available information that we have sourced from Treasury in terms of the numbers and so on, or possible a joint engagement with Treasury and COCTA to look at conversation with the committee on how to avoid things like those. So we will be guided by the committee, but there's certainly lessons that could be learned across the board, not necessarily by SALGA. On the...
Just before Mr. George goes off VBS, I asked specifically what steps SALGA had taken to address municipal exposure to VBS and to mutual banks in general. It's against the law. What has SALGA done to inform municipalities of what they can and cannot do? What has SALGA done to assist those municipalities that were invested? What has SALGA done? And you say it was very late in the day. There have been negotiations between National Treasury and the municipalities since October 2015. regarding this and the fact that it was illegal. And what we've seen is that since July 2017, there has been a massive growth in the investment in or the deposits in VBS Mutual Bank by municipalities. Now, my question again is, what have you, as the organization that is supposed to capacitate, support, assist local government, what have you as an organization done to communicate that to the other municipalities, to sensitize them to the illegality of it, to assist those that were invested to withdraw their funds in a responsible manner, etc.? What have you as SALGA actually done?
No, thanks, Chair. I mean, I've indicated in my response, we are not aware of what municipalities bank to. The National Treasury and the Reserve Bank manage banking system in the country. And that's a fact. So how municipalities bank their money in 2015? We have not been in the loop of the conversation with Treasury on the matter. So certainly we could not have been expected to detect and know that. There's requirements in the Municipal Systems Act on how municipalities report every month, Section 204 as well as Section 208. None of those requirements put SALGA in the loop of receiving data. So how could we have possibly known who banks with who in South Africa, except when we asked for Treasury? And that's a fact. Are there lessons to be learned? Certainly, yes, there is lessons to be learned. But we could not be held accountable retrospectively for something that we are not part of the loop from an executive obligation point of view. We are a voluntary association of municipalities, we report municipalities, and we advise them. Certainly from this point, we will become much more wiser, all of us. And that's the extent to which SALGA has recently becoming aware of the potential curatorship by the Reserve Bank, consulted Treasury, and we've become aware of which municipalities have been putting money in the VBS Bank. So going forward, yes, we'll be able to do so in terms of our responsibilities. The second part, Chairperson, is on the issue of the land release program. We are working with the city's network in terms of the land release issues. And part of our engagement with the city's network is that there is land release papers that they have worked on, looking at urban land in cities. And I think it's quite exciting work that part of it is to say what could be the framework of expediting the release of that land. And certainly we'll be able, maybe Chairperson, when we come back to the committee, either through our annual report, be in a position to say we are working on this framework going forward, the Special Transformation Index framework, the land release framework that we have shared in terms of our plan for this year, to look at how we could, even possible, expedite the release of that land. COCTA, through the IUDF program, is identifying pilot municipalities on the IUDF. And our view is that we could be able, through that program, identify pilot municipalities that would work around this particular matter. I think, Ronald Masson, on the cleaner cities, sometimes it's not the money. That's very, very true. And it's certainly a suggestion we'll take to the Executive Committee of SALGA to say, part of your visitation across provinces, please be in a position to even exert the pressure. What is happening and what are the constraints? And part of our research that we will be doing, commission work on the state of solid waste management collection in the country, it will be able to tell us in Mangaung how many wards you have, in Buffalo City how many wards you have, are you able to reach out to all those, what are the constraints, are they financial and so on. And I think it will make us a bit wiser around this particular matter. On the SALGA as an employer body, staff morale, it is certainly one area that our service charter, we thought it would be good to also gauge the level of commitment around specific weaknesses that we face at municipalities and what kind of commitment organized labor can put to us. So part of their conversations today and yesterday and tomorrow in Durban in the Collective Bargaining Council is also to look at unpacking the principles framing this charter. And it was quite groundbreaking when it was a commitment. The issue of sports and recreation is a major area that SALGA is currently driving across provinces. We have worked in KwaZulu-Natal as well as Gauteng, and we're certainly introducing another province like Eastern Cape to see how best to manage not only the funding limitations, the 15% that we get ring-fenced out of the sports grant. It goes a long way around the mobilization of society on the issue of social cohesion. But so far, we have not had capacity to monitor at a municipal level, infrastructure investments, and so on. It's certainly an area that we can be guided on going forward. But the ring fence 15%, definitely we are working with the Minister of Sports and Recreation to look into that issue. Restructuring of municipalities, SALGA, you were at the forefront of pushing for that, and the answer is certainly no. We were not in the forefront, Honorable Milleham. We were not in the forefront of pushing for restructuring of municipalities. It was a Section 24 regulation that the Minister of COCTA at the time put forward prior to 2016. And the National Treasury, through the pressure of SALGA, working with COCTA to say, let's have a restructuring grant as the post-allocation those. And $300-something million was made available for that. But what we are saying now going forward is that we need, so we're not backtracking on the matter. We're saying we need to understand the phenomenon of restructuring. Is it resulting in the intended outcomes? Remember the demarcation board, in terms of Section 4, they outline the principles around demarcation. In terms of the object of demarcating, they outline. So SALGA is not a demarcator. SALGA represents municipality in the conversation about what demarcation board leads and what the executive requires around that is to make sure that we secure the interest of municipality. So it is not an afterthought that we want to understand. We're saying we have had enough of restructuring between this period and now. Can we understand what was the intention? Are we beginning to see from 300 and something municipalities, 284, right up to 257? Can we understand the driver? So if there's new amalgamation, minor or major, at least we are in a better position to advocate for certain matters. So that is what is behind our own understanding of the drivers around this issue. Knowledge management, peer review, Sianna will respond on that issue in terms of what are we planning to do during the year under review to drive peer review and manage perceptions of municipalities around that. Under MASP, there's a detail that we have provided in terms of the limited capacity we have as SALGA, but certainly at the level of MASP is one of the interventions we're saying we're going to focus on the red zone municipalities. Initially, they were 60-something. We reduced them to 39. They are now about 24. And we're quite happy because we projected that come 2021, ideally would not want to see any municipality that is under a red zone. When we come back, Chairperson, on the detail of 85 municipalities, we have indicated those municipalities. But when we come back on the annual report presentation, I think we will be much more elaborate to even identify them, province A, how many of these 85, and what are we assisting them around their benefit on the matter. The pension fund issue in terms of the curators, yes, there are curators in place. We have met with them, and relatively we are quite satisfied that at least at the level of closing what was the problem in 2015 and 2014 and before, there is now a sense that there is management of the fund, so that it doesn't deteriorate. It is a very sensitive issue, as honorable members are saying. It's something that, to the extent that it will be required, I'm sure we could come back as SALGA with the curators, should it be required by the committee that we should form part of that. SALGA, you are proposing to delist as a public entity. Yes, we are proposing to delist, and we have reported to the committee more than four times to the committee in previous years about the limitations of our programs, the vulnerabilities of our models, and the constraints placed by the current listing arrangement. And we have engaged with the Treasury, Honorable Milleham, around what is behind the listing of SALGA as a Schedule 3A public entity. And Treasury did indicate to us that at that time it was merely for the national office to receive a certain portion of the grant. And we agree with you, SALGA, that you ought not to be listed in the manner in which you are listed. So start processes around your delisting. They've formalized that in writing from the Minister of Finance, also from the Minister of COCTA. And it relates to how we are looking at what some of these constraints are. If you look at the Municipal Systems Act, Section 2 of the Municipal Systems Act, that gives SALGA an expansive mandate. And that mandate is about SALGA must find answers in general to all problems facing local government. And when you look at some of the limitations in terms of some of the innovative measures we want to bring, the constraints have been identified, and Treasury has indicated to us that indeed you need to find. So it is not about to be listed out of accountability, his alternative listing, so that we can still be able to account to the relevant executive authority, account to Parliament in the manner in which we do, have Auditor General and so on, but being enabled to do other things that the Municipal Systems Act empowers us to do. And National Treasury Ministry has indicated to us that please put this process in place, and whatever is unfolding, we'll be able to share with Parliament and the relevant committee in this regard, Chairperson. I would take a pause on that matter so that the honourable NEC members can raise specific matters, and my colleagues can also